Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. So give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be more than happy to help. Now, today I'm joined by Cindy Crum, CEO and founder of Mobile Moxie. Cindy, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm very, very well. And you're in Colorado, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Colorado. What's the weather doing in Colorado right now? Is it still hot? It was hot a few weeks ago, I think.
It was hot a few weeks ago. We just had our first taste of fall with days that were brisk and you needed a light jacket, but then we're back now to warm.
Ah, right. We had a bit of an Indian summer here in the UK, but now it's gone really rainy. And well, it's going to become windy and rainy because we've got the remains of a hurricane coming over. I don't know where it's from. It's a very sort of northerly hurricane that sort of sauntered over the Atlantic and has hit Ireland. Now it's going to come over to the UK. But anyway, less of the weather. So let's start off. Tell us a bit about yourself, Cindy, and Mobile Moxie.
Sure. So I am a mobile SEO expert, and I've been doing mobile SEO for a very, very long time, actually, since before the iPhone was even released. We did mobile SEO for, I wouldn't say flip phones, but for the first kind of round of smartphones that were just two colors and you couldn't click or you had to scroll, BlackBerry kinds of things. So been doing it for a long time. Love it. Absolutely find it fascinating. And Mobile Moxie is a company that I started over 10 years ago to help people specifically with mobile SEO concerns. As you know, now more than half of the searches on Google are done from a mobile phone. And so that means that you need to rank, and rankings are different between mobile, desktop, and even tablet.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And we have tools that are really awesome to help people with mobile SEO. So that's exciting, too. Yeah,
fantastic.
That's what I do.
Fantastic. I was just trying to remember back, actually, because the first... I'm very old, so I can remember these. I remember phones before smartphones. I remember the first mobile phone. It was like a brick. But yeah. I'm trying to remember, what was that three-letter acronym when mobile phones first started to be able to access the web? Is it W?
Well, there was WML, which was a coding language, and there was WAP.
WAP, that's what I can remember. Yeah, it never seemed to work.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very good. But it was so reminiscent of the early days of the internet too, because I've been, you know, on the internet since the beginning as well, when it was directory structure and text only, or just mostly text with a couple images here and there floating.
Wow.
And early mobile web was very much the same.
Yeah. So let's talk about mobile, and specifically actually mobile SEO, because that's your speciality, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's start off with, I'm not sure if it's the latest mobile update, but it's certainly one of the most recent one, the mobile first indexing update. And I know you've got one or two unique theories about that, haven't you?
Yes, I do.
Tell us about that.
I love talking about this. Yeah. So in the past year, Google's rolled out an update they call Mobile First Indexing. And what Google says is that it's all about switching from indexing based on desktop to indexing based on a mobile phone. And they say that's the main thing. Just make sure all your links and schema and basically your code is pretty much the same between mobile and desktop, or at least all the main points are still there. But it took so long to develop and launch that I believe that there's much more to it. And since it's launched, a lot of things are magically happening and seem to have become possible. Hmm. So the theory that I have is that mobile-first indexing was not just a shift to how they crawl the web, but hence the name indexing. It's a shift to how they index the web. And not just doing it for mobile, but doing it in a more language agnostic and granular way. So language agnostic means that they use what we call entities, which are concepts, a person, place, or thing, idea, kind of like a noun, but concepts that you could look up in Wikipedia or in an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And those concepts have relationships to other concepts that stay the same regardless of what language you speak. So for instance, if I say this is a table and this is a chair, and they often happen together, you don't have to relearn that when you learn another language. But the way Google used to operate, they did. They had to relearn everything. But when they put the baseline as entities and say this is a table, and these are all the words in all the languages for table, and this is a chair, and these are all the words for chair in all the languages, and here's German and these two are related, and here's English and these two are related. So it makes it easier for them to be more efficient in non-English searches, which they've always struggled with. The algorithm's always been best in English, and international search has always had more of a spammy component that Google doesn't like. And so when they do this, they can be better in all the languages, but they can also kind of gain a deeper understanding faster. And if you think about how machine learning works, your machine learning requires lots of data. And when they were learning things one language at a time, some languages had very small sources of data. If you think about a language like Bulgarian, the machine learning was so slow that not only, you know, did that hamper the ability for them to do a great job in Bulgarian, but it was kind of embarrassing because they could do a great job on similar queries in bigger languages. And so it was a problem easily solved by reverting and instead of focusing just on keywords, focusing on entities. Does that make sense?
It does. It's actually very pertinent because we spoke about this very thing on the show. I'm trying to remember if it was the last episode or the episode before that. And yeah, it was interesting because there were some pros and cons. I think we were talking in the context of paid search, if I remember correctly. Pros and cons in the context of paid search. But I mean, what effects is it having in the sort of mobile SEO area?
Well, the main thing that's happening is Google is doing a better job at surfacing answers instead of just websites, which is what users want. Now, webmasters, people, you know, who work for websites, they're very kind of, I don't know, upset or skeptical, kind of feel a little bit negative towards this, because when Google surfaces the answers directly in the search result, it means that their clients or their websites aren't getting the same amount of traffic that they used to.
Yeah.
So if you think about a search for how to tie a tie, for instance, you might get a YouTube video tutorial. Or you might get a featured snippet that has a lot of text, one of those bigger kind of answer boxes that has step one, step two, step three.
Yeah.
So those things make it so people aren't clicking through because they get the answer exactly in the search result.
Yeah, that must be quite a challenge.
Well, it makes sense from Google's perspective.
Yeah.
Because what they care about is the users, and especially they have invested so much money in the Google Assistant, which is the voice control thing. And with voice control, the most horrible experience you could imagine would be a voice bot, you know, robot voice reading you the entirety of a website.
Yes, yes.
What you would want is just the answer to your question. And so Google's got to rank just the answer to the question. So the granularity that I talked about was, I believe, this is kind of the second theory that is proving itself out right now, that not only is Google reverting to this kind of bigger, thicker pipe on entities rather than one language at a time, but that also the indexing within those entity concepts is not just at a page level, but it's at a page plus potentially locator or item level within a page, so that Google can surface the featured snippet or can just answer your question with voice and say, you know, we've saved this website for you to look at later in your Google Assistant. But the assistant will read you just the answer. And they've shown this, that they're doing it already with highlighting. In some kinds of featured snippets, when you click through, they'll highlight the portion that they lifted into the result, and they scroll directly to it, so you don't have to find it. Even if there wasn't a link that the webmaster put in there, they now have the ability to scroll directly to the answer on the page, which that's a change. That's different. That means that they've indexed this position on the page in this, you know, answer.
I want to talk about something else now that I know that you're quite knowledgeable on, and that's this new thing, the PWA, which is a sort of a hybrid, isn't it, between an app and a website. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So PWA, it's not all that new. It's newish, but most people still don't know about it. Google's been talking about PWAs for, I would say, 3, possibly even 4 years. But it stands for Progressive Web App. And what it is a website that lives on the web but behaves like an app. And it can have mostly app code. It can have mostly JavaScript, which is what we would call a web app, something where all of the functionality is locked in JavaScript.
Yeah.
But it also has two additional files. It has what's called an app manifest, and it has a service worker. And the addition of those two files allow it to be downloaded from the web and have an app icon, just like any apps you would download from the store. And once you've downloaded it from the website, it opens without the address bar. You can open it in a predetermined app shell, so it looks just like a native app. And then the service worker handles really intelligent, sophisticated caching to make it seem really zippy and fast. Just like a native app would. Native apps are zippy and fast because they're essentially mostly downloaded it and come directly from the phone. And so that's a bit what the service worker does, is it says, I know I'm going to need this again. I'm going to save it for use again. Versus websites are often very bad at caching. So they will have to reload the whole page and re-get some of the items. And you see the flash when you change pages. It goes blank for a second.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in a PWA.
Wow. So how does it work then, Cindy? Do you like sort of go to the normal website, but as soon as you get there, it sort of changes the look of the browser? Or is it something you can literally download in the same way that you can an app?
When you go the first time to a PWA, it'll look just like a website.
Yeah.
And if you go back, if you've been there a couple times, that's when it'll show you kind of from the bottom of the screen, usually a little ad that says, would you like to download this?
Ah.
And that's when, once you download it, that's when it that's when it changes the way that it presents itself. But the idea here is, number one, it's a really good experience. It requires a whole lot less code because of the caching. So if you're in a place with limited connectivity, it's not always going up to the internet. It can actually work offline in some instances, depending on how you set up the service worker. And it's a much better experience. Google's tests have showed that because it's faster and it's a more streamlined experience, people convert more and at a higher dollar figure.
Yeah.
Because they're not just waiting and waiting for things to load, and they feel more confident. Like users often really, if they have an affinity for a brand, then they love using the brand app. But it makes it so that you don't have to build the darn thing twice or three times. Because before PWAs, you would have to build for iOS and build for Android and then build for the web. And it's three different code bases. This makes it so that you can build and have an app-like experience with one chunk of code.
I'm going to ask you quite a technical question now, Cindy, so don't worry if you don't know the answer. I don't know how technical you are. Well, you must be very technical because you're an SEO expert. I'm just wondering, if people want to sort of explore PWAs, what's the best place to start reading about them? Are there any sort of specific platforms that help you to build them?
There are wizards that you can use to make the app manifest. And those just only take 5 minutes. It's very easy because it's just a text file.
Yeah.
And then there are programs to help you make a service worker. Google has one that they endorse quite actively. And there are also loads of videos on YouTube by Google because they have entire conferences dedicated. The Chrome Developer Conference is now essentially all about PWAs.
Fantastic. Okay, so we've probably got quite a few people listening that might perhaps want to start exploring mobile SEO a bit more. How should they get started? What sort of things should they be thinking about, Cindy?
The first thing is to just start acknowledging that if you're doing SEO and you're looking at rankings, most likely the rankings that you're looking at are desktop rankings, because even though Google has gone mobile first, most SEO tools are still doing desktop first. And so make sure that you're slicing the data and segmenting so that you know the difference between how mobile is performing and desktop is performing, because they will perform differently, both in rankings and conversion and success.
Yeah.
The other thing is we developed a tool because I was so tired of being told that the ranking numbers coming from Google are just directional or suggestions or averages, but I wanted to know exactly how something was ranking and if there was knowledge graph or if there were featured snippets or things like that above the ranking, pushing it down. So we developed a tool that lets you choose from a bunch of different phones, put in an exact address, and then put in a query and see exactly what that mobile search result looks like right now in a live Google result, as if you were standing anywhere in the world. So we could say, oh, I have a company in Tokyo and, you know, they're located in the center of the city. Are we ranking well in Tokyo for this keyword in the center of the city or at this address? And we can. And you can actually, even with paid memberships, you can upload a CSV of all of your addresses. So let's say you're a chain like Starbucks. You can upload your addresses and say, how are we ranking standing right by all of our locations on this important keyword? And we'll show you what the mobile result looks like in all of those places.
Is that the mobile SERPs test or mobile SERP test you were just mentioning then?
Yeah, we call it the SERPerator.
Yeah, well, the SERPerator. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Cindy. How can people find out more about you, more about Mobile Moxie?
Well, the website is just mobilemoxie.com, so mobilemoxie.com. Yeah. And then we're also on Twitter. I'm pretty active. The Mobile Moxie account is also pretty active, and we tweet out tutorial videos and kind of glossary definition kinds of videos from that one. So it's a good place just to start following and get little tidbits of knowledge to build up.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on and thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes will be in the usual place, which is sitevisibility.co.uk/IM podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review. That would be smashing. Very British, that, wasn't it? That'll be smashing. If you've got any questions or topic suggestions or even guest suggestions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at Site Visibility. We have a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Cindy.
Yep, bye.
Thanks for coming on, Cindy. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.